What up, people? It's your boy Justin Ramos. We are back finally with another episode of Just a Kid from Brooklyn. It's your boy, East New York Zone, Justin Ramos, Jay Ramos, the pretty boy, you know, the one and only comedian extraordinaire, boxing fan, sneakerhead, and everything in between. Hey, people, I'm back. I promised you about part two of the Comics Rock Convention that I was most recently at in Atlanta, GA, Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. Boom, boom, Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. I forgot the words. Shout out to the Freebirds. If you are an old school wrestling fan, you know who I'm talking about. Michael P.S. Hayes, Gordy, and I forget the third guy. Anyway, Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. Anyway, so the rest of the festival was so dope. The courses that we took in the morning time, it was tiring to be out late and be up at the crack of dawn and back in basically comedy school at 8 a.m. till about 5:30, sometimes 6 p.m. and go to showcases. And yeah, it was a lot. But I gained a lot from Hope Flood and learned a lot from Kente Johnson and his joke class. We did a business of show, you know, the business of show instead of the show business with Hope Flood. And that was dope. And she basically kept it real. You know, she told us stop playing, you know, to get serious, get focused. And remember, it's a marathon. I had a friend who doesn't do stand-up anymore. Carl Samuels used to say that all the time. It's a marathon. It's not a race. And it is. You just got to keep your head in the game. You got to stick with it. You know what I'm saying? You got to always be prepared for the ups and the downs in comedy and just stay focused. Have that tunnel vision. Don't worry about who is next to you, beside you, behind you, ahead of you, or, you know, whatever. Just focus on you. And you can't age out of comedy, man. You know, Bernie Mac, shout out to the late, great Bernie Mac, one of my favorite comedians, was known, you know, amongst the black community. We knew him for years. But when did he really pop? When he was like late 40s, early 50s. That's when he went mainstream, right? But, you know, that course was dope. You know, she encouraged us, you know, to start our website, get our merchandise, get health insurance, which I have. You know, how to negotiate. These are key things, you know, when you're negotiating gigs, you know, whether that be church gigs, you know, the college gigs and rooms, you know, regular rooms here in your hometown, and how to produce. And these were important things that we learned there. And we had joke writing classes. I'm looking at my notes. She also said to get TSA approved. Basically, you know, talk about anything. You know, your everything, the ins and outs of comedy network. You know, make sure you get an EPK. Keep that current. Keep your headshots current. Keep your business cards current. Make sure, you know, you keep all of your contact the same. Don't keep changing your contact, meaning your email, your phone number, because people won't book you, you know. And be open to doing all types of shows, virtual shows, shows in person, whatever. We had a class on doing a one-man show or one-woman show if you're a lady. And, you know, that was with Karen Sessi. I hope I said her name right. That was an interesting class, you know. She basically was like, you know, you could, you know, break your show up and write it in little increments every day until you build up, you know, the amount of time you want to for your one-person show. You know, just write it out. You know, what's your target audience? Who are you talking to? What are your characters? Like, what... what demographic, you know, does it cater to? What culture does it cater to? Is it relatable? You know, basically the theme, the emotion, and everything you're trying to do. Collab with other people. If you know what I'm saying, if you're gonna do it yourself, or you know, collab with other people, do research on what you're talking about. One of the other courses we had was we did a course about digital real estate, which, oh my God, like, shout out to Shula King. You know, he's a Instagram sensation, but he is an actual stand-up of almost 20 years, you know, and I thought that class was very interesting. And he was like, you know, just telling us like how he does his day-to-day postings, right? He has specific times that work for him where he posts his videos, and he posts like 3 to 4 times a day. He used to post 5 times a day, but he got in trouble with his missus. See, I remember these things. So like I retain something, you know, aside from my note taking and not note taking sometimes in certain parts of the seminars. But, you know, he was saying, you know, you got to treat your phone like the stage. The phone is more important than television, which is true. Most people, you know, view things on social media nowadays. People aren't necessarily watching stuff on television like they used to. They're getting it in small increments, those 15-second clips, those 1-minute clips, those 7-second clips, if people are still doing that. You know, trademark it. Say your name at the beginning of any video. And just be consistent. Use the proper hashtags that pertain to, you know, your sketch. But also use popular hashtags too. I've done that on YouTube, and it's gotten me, you know, things. iMovie, he said iMovie was the best part of it, which is cool, because I'm an Apple user, and I think iMovie is excellent. Another class I took was the sketch writing class, and that was cool. That that was the class we were all exhausted, because I think we had just done the award show the night before. I don't remember. We did the Purple Awards, which honored J. Anthony Brown, Marshall Warfield. They had surprise guests like Lunell, and Bruce was there. Coco Brown was there. So I kind of felt bad for this dude. Like, he had some interesting thing. He spoke a lot about taking risks and, you know, basically clustering and listening skills. And then we all just walked out. Anyway. But he gave us some writing exercises, which was cool. Like, you know, a cool way to come up with sketches. So, like, he was like, you know, write down Halloween costumes that you would, you know, like to make a sketch about. And I think it came up with, like, a vampire, Kanye West, Batman, a rapper, Joe Biden, an actor, a clown, a pimp, a boxer, a poet. Like, these were just all free writing thoughts that I had. Things that your dad said to your mom on your first date. And I was like, oh, damn, you look good. Is it tight? Is it big or small? You know, stuff like that. Yeah, nasty shit. What's your number? You got kids? Do you have baby mamas? Do you have baby daddies? Like, these were just ideas for sketch writing. He also gave us one where it was the side effects of drugs. I wrote bubble guts, bleeding, loss of sight, cotton mouth, nausea, fatigue, swelling. Like, these are funny to me, because these are what you see in these late night infomercials on new drugs, right? I also took before we get to that, 5 people you came in contact with, and then write about their characteristics. So I wrote about my friend, he's tall, high-pitched voice. Then I wrote about another friend who's short, rude, and ignorant. Then I got another homeboy who I said was skinny, tall, with a deep voice. And then I think I had my mom down. That's like high voice, mean at times, funny, and short. And then these were just, you know, characters basically in your sketches. We also had a auditioning technique class for acting with Megan Good's brother, Michael Good. That was awesome. And, you know, I'm definitely going to look into his Good Acting Studio, which is located, I believe, in Atlanta. I can't remember. It's in the Georgia area, I think. But anyway, it's a Good Acting Studio on Instagram. And he just, you know, gave us techniques on auditioning for roles and basically saying, you know, always remain confident, know where you're going, be prepared, use Actors Access, which I use every day. Shout out to Actors Access. Shout out to Grant Wilfrey. Holla at me, you know, y'all, it's pilot season. Holla at your boy, I'm ready to act. And just, you know, how to audition, be off book, always bring a script. He gave us a cold read technique. Basically, look at the casting director, then kind of glance at the script back to them. Like, make sure you're looking out. Don't basically just lift the lines from the paper. Don't look like you're just reading it. He also was made it clear to, you know, not to shake hands. Don't play to the camera. Don't stop and start over. Don't make excuses. Don't apologize if you mess up. Don't ask for feedback. Don't show up more than 15 minutes early. Don't wear heavy cologne. I've been on set where they don't want any cologne or perfume. So, you know, I just smell like cocoa butter all the time or Shea Moisture. Some important do's was to dress in the essence of a character. Be pleasant in the lobby. Be mindful in the lobby. Know the work dates. Always bring a picture and a resume to your audition. You know, don't worry about getting the part. And then also some keynotes. He said, live in it. Acting is being. Being is doing. Feel it, not fake it. Be natural. Be grounded. Teach yourself to feel. Learn what works for you. Be comfortable. Be charismatic and be confident. That's awesome, right? We had another financial class. It was called Data Over Dollars with Marcus Bowers, who's also a stand-up comic. And he's made an empire outside of comedy. He is a wealthy man who has a business. And he just talked about the importance of collecting data. What does that mean? Basically, like, in this order, he found that it worked for him is to always ask for the phone number first, the email, name, and birthday. And he gave us some sites that we can use for our business. Slicktext.com, Calivio.com, Shopify.com, Neverbounce.com. And he said the importance of automation. Get a Patreon. Use the Caton Fair to get supplies. Don't talk to your customers for the wrong reason. That's important. And, you know, while I was down there, I learned about Popple, which is a virtual digital business card, which I'm gonna start using. I actually have it set up. I gotta activate it. It's like $45. Yes, nothing. You know what I mean? Then we had a course with Coco Brown. Fucking awesome. From the stage to the screen. If you don't know Coco Brown, she's a stand-up comic and actress. She's on like 5 shows at once right now. She's on that new impeachment miniseries about former president Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. So, you know, of course, you know, she has a workshop from the stage to the screen. And, you know, it's just, we got important, you know, books we should read that she recommended. The Power of the Actor, The Artist's Way, The Purple Cow. It's called Next, An Actor's Guide to Auditioning. Actor Takes a Meeting. And she basically just, you know, gave us pointers on what we should do as far as, you know, taking it, you know, from what we do on stage and comedy to the screen, you know, how to transition from the comedy world to the acting world. And I thought that was an awesome class. That was one of my favorite classes. I was able, because I was an early bird entry into the convention, I was able to get the Punch It Up class with Kente Scott, which was dope. It was 15 of us in a room. And we did one joke that we were working on, one that's new that we're currently doing on stage, or one that we just wrote. And I thought that was awesome because we got to listen to each comic's joke and give them tags and help punch that shit up. So it's, you know, prepared for the stage because no joke is ever finished, right? You're always adding to your bits. So they become chunks and then they become half hours and so on and comedy albums. And I thought that was dope because there was a joke I've been working on about my niece, and I've tried it on stage a couple times, and it's basically how she bosses me around and tells me what to do via FaceTime. And I did the joke, and I thought it was funny because I was nervous in front of comedians. I don't really like to do my material in front of other comics. I prefer to do my shit on stage. Like, I rarely do open mics. It's a rare occurrence that I go to an open mic unless I know that a regular audience is going to be there, and it's more audience than comedians. So I thought that was cool. And shout out to Kente for, you know, punching it up. You know, I thought that was like that was one of the courses that I was looking forward to, other than Coco Brown's and of course Hope Flood's workshops. I missed the improv class with Rodney Perry because our one-on-one with Kente and the punch-up class was going on at the same time. We could hear it because we were in the green room and they were in the showroom, but I didn't get a chance to do that. So next year, I'll make sure that I definitely do his course, hopefully. It doesn't conflict with the time. One of my other favorite workshops we got to do was the funny format with Kenneth Johnson. He's been doing stand-up for years. I think he's been doing it since, if I'm not mistaken, he's been doing it since the 50s, which is fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like, 60s, I believe. He talked about, you know, his time at the Comedy Store, because, you know, we got to meet him on the Tina Graham panel. And his course was dope, man. He kept it real. Like, he just was like, basically, you know, we know the rules in comedy, right? Premise, setup, punchline. You know, your point of view. Write jokes from the human experience. And, you know, just remember, whatever we're all going through, no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, just, you gotta be professional. He broke it down basically how, like, you know, a host usually does 30, a feature does 20, a headliner usually does 45 to 60. You know, always set yourself up to win. And he gave us, like, different exercises on what we hate, what we like, what we love, what we're proud of, what we need more of. And then something like, what's up with, and you could be like, what's up with deaf people? What's up with white people? I'm proud of being black, and tell them why. I'm proud of being from Brooklyn, tell them why. He gave us an exercise, if I can just get rid of, and I was like, fireworks, because if you live in New York, fucking annoying. Stupid dances, I would love to get rid of those. And then it was another exercise where it was like, if I can just get rid of, and I put condoms. I don't know why, it just popped in my head, I don't fucking know. I mean, because who likes them anyway? I mean, you know, if it's the same partner, you should be fine, right? Hopefully that person's not cheating on you. You might get some bum bumps. I'm just kidding. Shout out to Kevin Hart for that bum bump. See, that's how we do things, right? If you mention another comic's joke, you don't steal it. You shout them out. You credit them. Kevin Hart wrote that bum bump. I just thought it was funny to say. Anyway, that's another story for another day. I was originally supposed to be showcased at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. Due to the volume of comics that we had, I was bumped from the showcase Wednesday night, which was night three of the festival, or night four. It was night four of the festival, actually. It was 5 days. Like, I was out there for like a few days. Anyway, I don't even remember how many days I was out there. I think I was out there for 6 days because I went the day before. But I got bumped to the last night of the festival. And I went to 10 ATL in East Atlanta Village, where I was earlier in the summer for the 1865 Comedy Festival. So I got to showcase for Hope Flood, which I think she missed my set, but it was okay. And Tina Graham, my friend and comedy sister Vanetta Schofield, hosts that room weekly there now at 10 ETL. And it was fun. I was a little nervous in the beginning, and then I just was like snapped out of it, and I got into my set, and I boom, boom, boom. And I had a really good time. One of my favorite things I did also outside of the festival was I went to Kelly Kells' room that she has. Shout out to Quick. Shout out to Kelly Kells. Shout out to James. They have a room in Atlanta on Mondays. I forget the name of it right now. Oh, the Landing. I think it's called the Landing ATL. And the cool part about that was we were all at the Purple Awards. So about time we got to her room, her crowd had already gone. They weren't waiting anymore because we all showed up at like 11 at night, damn near. And we all did 5-minute sets. And 3 minutes into our set, they would yell out remix, and we had to do a joke that someone shouted out. And I think I was doing my Mike Tyson podcast joke, Lil Bootsy. And someone yelled out remix. I think it was Kelly. And the DJ goes, Mike Tyson in a hotel with a trainee. And I was like, what? Yeah, yo, it was so funny. I think I started doing his voice and imitating him talking about, I didn't know you had balls. What the fuck is going on over here? You got a fucking dick or something? Oh my God, this is ludicrous. And everybody started laughing. Like, that was my favorite part. Like, I thought that was cool because it challenged us. I enjoyed the whole festival. I mean, the whole convention. I keep saying festival because I'm doing a lot of festivals. I met a lot of new comedians. I got to see my friends from New York. I got to see my friends that I met at the 1865 Comedy Festival. Like, you know, Sister Lou and my good homie Malika. You know, so, and Mickey Housen was there, my boy from Texas, who was in 1865. My boy Derek Brooks was there, Tony Bird from New York, Dino, Christine, G-Mama Lee. So, you know, I saw my man Clipper Man, you know, so it was cool. You know, it was peace, you know. I love traveling for stand-up. It's, you know, stand-up is my passion. Acting has always been something I wanted to do. So I'm stepping in back into that world. I did it as a child, you know, when I was in the boys club, Camp Cromwell. I was always in the talent night. Things at school in St. Charles, I was always a part of. I always got excited when we did plays. I was in Let's Pretend as a small child. I think I was 7. My cousin Janice and I, we used to write plays and act them out for our family on the weekends. So it's something I've always wanted to do. Stand-up was something that came to me later in life, but it's, you know, I started writing in 2006, as I've stated before in many interviews, and I wrote for 4 years. I had these little memo notepads full page to page. I have recordings. I have stuff on an old iPod Touch. I have stuff on old cell phones that are transferred from iPhone to iPhone. So, you know, it's something that I want to do. And I'm going to continue to do, and acting is coming into the forefront as well. But I will never forget my roots in comedy, even though the acting was there first. And, you know, also I am a broadcaster, as you hear on this podcast, something I went to school for, television and radio. I fell in love more so with the radio side of things, which is why this podcast exists. This podcast was started in LaGuardia Community College. About 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. If you want to listen to the original WLGR version of this show, it still exists. All you got to do is go to the WLGR page on SoundCloud, type in Just a Kid from Brooklyn, and all my episodes are there. I do share them from time to time. I actually have a hard copy of it on a flash drive, which I will one day upload as classic episodes so you guys can listen to them on all the other platforms and streams that I'm on. What do I have coming up? I will be doing some shows in New York before I leave town again, because that's where my life is headed, which is not a bad thing. I'll be at Team Cheesy at 8 p.m. September 30th at Joey Bats. I'll be at Harlem Nights on October 2nd. At 7 p.m. for Harlem Evenings. And I will be at Moe's on the 4th of October at 8:30 p.m. And then it's off to Memphis. I'll be in Memphis, Tennessee from the 7th to the 10th for the Memphis Urban Laughs Comedy Festival. Shout out to my lisp. It's showing its true colors right now. So far, I'm in two showcases. I will be on the It's the Degree for Me on October 8th. And I'm doing the Midnight Marathon on October 9th. And these will all be at the Comedy Joint. Shout out to LaToya. Shout out to Memphis. And I'll see you soon. Yo, I will drop another episode real soon. I promise. I'm probably going to do an interview based episode next. So, you know, I'm back. I'm here. Keep following the show, Just a Kid from Brooklyn. Make sure you listen to it here on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Bullhorn, and everywhere else. It's your boy, Justin Ramos. Peace out. Yes, sir. Brooklyn.